This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're in the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS. It's brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save a bunch of money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Who's ready for the second half? PharrellOnTheBench.com is. That's who. Every pick, every play, every game, everything that's on the board, even boxing and MMA. We give you all the picks in an email. Picks ranked, favorite to least. You're going to love it. PharrellOnTheBench.com. The best picks, the best price. Sign up today. Everybody's doing it. They just won't admit it. Hide the money from your wife. All right, so can you explain to me the Nuggets and Warriors game is on ESPNU? What is that? Like, is that what is that channel in like Asia? Who watches that? I mean, what? I don't even know what that is. Is that some college channel they have? Some stupid failure channel that they keep trying to sell us?
Well, that channel's been around for a long time.
Yeah, that no one's ever watched.
Well, they watch it Saturdays during college football.
Please.
Well, they put games on, though.
Well, I got it once on my cable package. Let me just tell you. You know what I was watching? Hamtramck Tech against Bologna State. I did. I literally got the – remember I told you, Mavi, when I got the college, extra college, you know, package where you could just watch, like, 200 games every week? They got every game in the world on. That's what that was on. Like, and just the worst games you've ever seen. Sorry if I made fun of your school, Hamtramck Tech. I'm watching the Chinese national team giving the Bucks rookie team or whatever a fit. It's 41-40. Bucks are up by one in the third. Shouldn't they be up by like 20 already? I mean, I saw these like Croatian and Chinese teams playing the other day, and they were both getting whacked. They're not getting whacked tonight. They seem to be in it.
These teams should be getting whacked when they play. That's the way it should be.
Right, like they should be getting whacked. So I guess now I'm watching, apparently, tennis highlights on TV. Nothing like watching them. Nothing quite like those tennis
highlights. Let me just tell you, I'll say highlights. This, and it ends up being fun at the end because it's always the three of them, but can anybody on this tour ever beat Nadal, Federer, or Djokovic?
No, it's the worst.
The three of them. Look, there's good parts of it and it's bad. The three of them are so good that when they play each other, like, it's worth the price of admission.
It is
but
good.
You got to wait till you get to the semis and the finals for
every
these things
tournament.
To happen. The rest of the tournament is awful.
Well, doesn't my boy Martin Del Potro show up for the U.S. Open?
Once in a while.
Once a year.
But, like, I think it's cool. Like, that's going to be a big event. Well, Friday it's going to be fun. I mean, Nadal, Federer.
Kavaha, you're constantly complaining about the tennis. Why don't you shut your face?
But here's the thing. The thing you have to remember about Nadal, Federer now is every time they meet, could be the last time. You don't know.
Clearly, Kavaha, this could be the last matchup between the great Rafa and Raja. And that would be sad for tennis fans. In the post-game interview, his 45th semi in slams for Roger, of course, in his press conference after getting to the semis to face Rafa, he looked rather like executive-ish, if you will. He looked rather like a receding hairline, clearly looking older, clearly looking like he's been through the battles, battle-tested, if you will, Kavaha. Roger could go into the business world now after his playing days are over and be the greatest player that ever lived. Unlike Pete Sampras, who went into oblivion. Does Pete Sampras do anything publicly, Kavaha?
I have not seen him in years.
Doing anything?
Anything.
On the ladies' side, the young Graf upset bid ended. As you know, the ladies' side will be determined, it would appear to me, and Mary Jo Fernandez and Maria Shriver and Pam Shriver. Maria driver. Is that what you just said, Cliff? Shut up, Varel. I'm trying to go through the litany of people I work with, Bud Collins in absentia and Patrick McEnroe and John McEnroe. I must say, John has acted as though he is a rock star after his playing days were over, only wearing rock and roll clothing to the tennis slams, always dressing as if he's going to James Dolan's nightclub to play in his rock band. Always wearing chains and acting cool, never buttoning up his shirts and wearing jeans with holes in them. God forbid. God save the queen. Cliff, what's the deal? You don't like John? He was a scintillating tennis player, Pharrell. But his attire at the slams is embarrassing for those of us that wear Hickey Freemans and drink Manhattans. The Joker is in, and of course the upset bid by Batista, the former wrestler, now a tennis player, and then Roger and Rafa. And on the ladies' side, of course, so much excitement.
So basically a rocking chair match for Djokovic on Friday while Nadal and Federer beat each other up. Is that pretty much how it comes down to?
It is true. And then, of course, Serena, I think, beat a young girl from Pittsburgh. I may be wrong about that. She had upset the number one seed. I've lost track of all of the ladies' side of action. I have no idea, but I do know this. Maria Sharapova is not playing in it. Pharrell's favorite player, and of course, Serena will win another Wimbledon. This is all I know. Cliff Drysdale reporting live from the All England Lawn and Tennis in London on the Pharrell radio program. There you go. People get very excited about Cliff for some reason. I am not engaged. I tried to watch today, and it's the same thing that you're saying. I can't take it anymore. I can't take the same three guys winning every single one of them.
I know that sounds crazy. It's fun when they play each other. Like I said,
there's only three guys on the whole tour.
Like, that'll be, even if you're not the diehard tennis fan,
right?
Friday morning, I think they're playing like 10 or 11 East Coast time.
Right.
Like, that's, you know, not much else going on. You're going to watch.
So, do you know who Serena's playing or something?
No idea. Is my girl still in?
Oh,
she's out?
I see what the problem is.
Carolina out?
Yeah, she's out. Listen, I have to just view the bracket. Well, I think it'll certainly give me a better idea of what's happening here. Now, on the ladies, here we go. This is just the semis. I know those are happening. Serena against... And then Simona Halep, who ended the run of the young Groff. So Serena, the big name, and Halep, they'll meet in the final, wouldn't you think? Halep, Serena, all England. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's where it'll go.
The girl Risk was from Pittsburgh, Peters Township, I believe.
That's who Serena beat.
That's where my dad lived and passed away in Pittsburgh, out in Peters Township, outside of Upper St. Clair, down the 19 South, I believe. Anyway, there you go. She was an upset. She, I guess, was the one that knocked off Barty, the number one Aussie seed, I believe. Rusty is in Knoxville. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, this is Rusty, and love your show. Love your candidness, honesty.
Thank you.
I'm a big tennis fan. Been watching Cliff Drysdale and Bud Collins since I was 9 years old, and you did a wonderful Cliff Drysdale impersonation. Thumbs up for it. Love the show. Keep it up.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate you, Rusty.
Impersonation. I mean, we got the guy on the horn from the All England
Club. I can't believe
here.
They're, like, thinking that it's me.
What are we doing here?
Can you believe they think it's me?
I mean, honestly, this guy has been a staple on the show for decades.
Who's paying the phone bill? How long before you hang up the line from London? For Christ's sakes, I'm in a bar here.
Get him another Manhattan.
Where is Kava High when I need him to disconnect this damn ISDN line? It's expensive under the pond. Underwater lines that people have never heard of. I saw him doing it with... Who was he doing it with? I think it was Shriver, right? Maybe it was Chris Evert.
Who knows?
But he shows up like in... Have you seen him with the suit on and everything? All classy. Like the he's like, is he has he been knighted?
That's
like,
what he does.
He's the man.
That's how he rolls.
But have you seen McEnroe show up? He looks like he's coming right out of a bar in the Village. Have you seen him show up for like he's got like a wrinkled shirt on? And
I'm not gonna
he doesn't
yet.
Button his shirt, and he's got 19 chains hanging on his neck. I mean, he looks like a guy in a bad reefer trip.
I haven't watched 1 second of the coverage in the last week and a half. I haven't. Now, Friday, if I remember, I'll tune into Nadal Federer.
I think those are the semis. Friday, is Friday the 12th?
Yeah, they're playing on Friday. Djokovic plays first, and then the Nadal Federer.
And then the women play, I believe. Oh, they're also. Sorry about that. Yeah, so the men are on Friday. I just want to get the women's correctly. I'm assuming the women are tomorrow. They are. 7-Eleven tomorrow. Do you get free Slurpees on that day? I think you do, don't you?
Yeah, go to 7-Eleven tomorrow.
Anyway, I get excited when it's free Slurpee day, as you can see. Mafia doesn't approve of whistling on the air, but when there's free Slurpees involved. I was at a candy store in Pittsburgh, right, wasting a bunch of money on candy for my children. And they had Slurpee machines in the candy store, right? So I was, like, eyeing it. And I was thinking to myself, how bad will this be for me to, you know, chug a big Slurpee? And have like a Slurpee tongue going where you get like that red tongue for the rest of the day. You know what I mean? So I did not dive into the Slurpee at the candy store. I didn't do it. I can't believe I can't watch the Warrior game, for God's sakes. Honest to God. I'm watching like highlights of Summer League. And then I guess I should turn the poker back on, right? I mean, at this point. What was I had it on something. I was watching the poker. What channel is that poker
on too?
What?
You got a bunch of guys. I think it's just a commercial. You got the F1 commercial up there.
Oh, I don't know. What channel is that poker on?
It's on the Deuce.
Oh, all right. Because I'm going to have to watch that. I've lost everything else. Mark in Nashville, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, I heard you talking about John McEnroe.
Right.
You seem to be sort of, you know, putting him down a little bit. I'd like to put him down a lot. he took NBC idiots were supplanted Bud Collins with McEnroe, and Bud Collins was 10 times the commentator than McEnroe. Any commentator is a better commentator than McEnroe. He's a jerk. Now he was a great champion on the court.
I actually think that he was, both. I think he was a great tennis player, and he was a jerk. And I think he was probably the biggest jerk of all time on the tennis court. And then I actually, I know for a fact that Bud Collins liked working with John McEnroe on television. And then there's no one in the business that actually buys into what you're selling. Most people, Carver High, believe that John McEnroe is a great tennis analyst on NBC, and that's why he's got the job, and that's why he's making all the money. Am I wrong? Like, they love him.
They love McEnroe.
They love him. You don't love him, and I think a lot of people don't love him because of his past, right? So they think John McEnroe slamming tennis rackets and cussing out linesmen and refs, that they'll never like him. Right? I just think they've already made up their mind about him, and they'll never give him the benefit of the doubt. Now, I am making fun of him just for satire, and, you know, it's easy to make fun of him because he shows up to the tennis matches at the most prestigious tournament in the world where everyone's wearing, like, literally priest robes. Are they not like wearing all white, everyone? Like everyone's wearing their finest, dressed to the nines, right? This guy shows up in affliction clothing with 50 rock chains around his neck and wrists like he's going to like Woodstock, right? Like he honestly, like, he looks like he's coming out of a bar at 4 a.m, does he not? So there's no questions asked that I'm on top of making fun of people. Thank you. I just wanted to say that.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So I promised we'd talk about Westbrook. You know, he's become the flavor of the day, right? Because we sat and worried about Kawhi Leonard for weeks. And then, was that not a, like, it was a couple weeks, right? That they won the title, and then they had the draft, and then everybody wanted to know where he was going. That's all we waited for, right? Was Anthony Davis. That deal went down, that everybody was happy. The KD Kyrie deals went down, everybody was happy. And then they just waited for the last guy, Kawhi, right? And then he finally decided to go to the Clippers. And then they somehow pulled off the George trade, which is huge. I don't know, though. I got to at least throw it out there. It's a two-year deal with a player option for the third, so they can both leave and be free agents in 2 years. And my question to you is this. For what they gave up, I mean, like every draft pick for the next 10 years, right? Am I wrong? They literally gave up their whole franchise to get George. And the other guy can leave in 2 years. I don't even want to talk about it. I don't even want to guess what that guy's going to do. I'm done caring what Kawhi Leonard's going to, the claw. Like, we're all, the mystery of the claw. I can't live up to it. I don't care what he does. Play there. Go wherever you want. I don't care where you go. How's that sound? I want nothing to do with it. You can all swim in it. I don't care. I'm so sick of, how about all these people? Didn't I not send you something about, like, do you remember the guy in Canada attacking the guy, Broussard? Did you see the guy, yes. Andre? He attacked him, saying he doesn't know a Pharrell and thing. And everyone on he said everyone on ESPN's full of Shaq.
Yeah, but nobody knew what
right.
he was doing.
He's right.
But nobody knew what he was doing. What did I say for weeks? That is the one guy where you cannot predict anything that this guy is going to do because he gives you nothing. And you talk about nothing getting out. He clearly it doesn't. Because how blown away was everybody that Paul George was part of this thing? There was not even a hint of that happening.
No one thought Paul George was going anywhere. And no one knew where Kawhi Leonard was going. And now they do.
No one thought Paul George was going anywhere because this guy was able to go there last year. He was a free agent last year. He was the big one they were chasing that was going to team up with LeBron, right? And he had the chance to go to L.A. Everybody thought he was going to. And then they had that big barbecue for him. So he says, you know what? These guys are my friends, and I love them, and I'm going to stay here. And then a year later, he says, screw you guys, I'm out. I can't. That ticks me off to no end. Like, the NBA, contracts do not matter anymore.
Well, one of the things is that it sounds to me like they really want basketball and television money to pour into Los Angeles because you've got Davis and LeBron now with Kuzma and the rest of that heap of trash they got on that team. Let's face it, right? I mean, honestly, everything else is like nickel and dime in it. And then
they got Boogie.
Like I said, nickel and dime in it. I can't even believe how far that guy's game fell. I mean, he went right into, he literally is his, he looked like a mule playing, didn't he? Was he not slow and fat and completely out of shape?
Gonna have a big year.
All right. So whatever. Here's the deal. I used to love his game when he mattered. So my point is that they want Los Angeles to be jumping, right? The NBA wants, I believe they want Los Angeles to be absolutely viable and making tons of money and getting all the television exposure. They want New York and LA to matter. But the problem is the Nets are what matter, right? And then they got Kyrie, they got Jordan, they got KD. KD's a year away at least, right? So... but they're still going to be more relevant than the Knicks, no matter what way you slice it. R.J. Barrett and Brazdeikis aren't cutting the mustard when it comes to, you know, Kyrie on a team that's already good, right? The Nets are decent, right? They're decent for sure, and they just got way better. I mean, they really did. Even with just Jordan and Kyrie, don't you think they're better than the Knicks? They were already better than the Knicks, the Nets.
Right, they already were. The Knicks were the laughing stock.
Okay,
of the league.
But I thought that the Knicks overall did a fairly decent job after failing to get anyone to at least put together a bunch of, you know, veteran guys that, and not so much that they could ball out, but that they don't really have any obligation to any of them. They're all 2-year deals with player options that they own. The team owns them. They're one and done. See ya. Thanks. Bye. That's what they got. But I'm done living for, you know, the summer of this, you know, 21, 22. And weren't we waiting for this summer? Wasn't this summer the year we were all waiting for the rest of our lives? And then look what happened. It was an absolute train wreck.
And it's not the first time. Remember how we were all waiting for them clearing cap space so they could take LeBron when he was leaving Cleveland and he went to Miami? I guess this happened time and time again that they have to really shuffle everything, clear the decks, so they go sign the big name, and then they don't come anyway.
Did you ever see the story of this guy? Because I got the ESPYs on now, unfortunately. Somehow I turned the channel, and I can't tell you how badly I want to change the channel. But I'm watching this coach. Did you ever see the guy that was the coach with no arms and no legs? It wasn't he in like Crenshaw or something, this guy? Have you ever seen the story of this guy?
No, I have not.
Oh, it's unbelievable. This guy's like the greatest coach, and the players just absolutely will run through a fire for this guy. And this guy never, ever is depressed, like that you never see him unhappy. He's always positive, always encouraging, always teaching the kids valuable life lessons. Incredible. And he has absolutely no arms or legs. They showed one day, they did a 30 for 30 on him, or a documentary, E60, I think I saw on him. And the guy, he constantly falls down out of his, stoop. They got him, in this machine or whatever that keeps him upright. And he's got a guy, a handler, that takes care of him 24-7, some guy. And he falls down and smashes his face in. He's got, orbital fractures, broken nose, teeth chipped, everything else. He has no arms and legs. He can't do anything without help in life. This guy struggles. He can't eat. He can't do anything. He literally can't do anything. Go to the bathroom, nothing. Nothing without this guy. And he goes every day, 2 hours, to coach this team, this high school football team. And he makes no money, and he does it out of his heart. He won some award tonight at this. He was on the cover of their magazine. They did an E60 on him. When I watch this thing, literally, and I don't cry ever. I'm not a crier. But Mafia has said that I am the town crier. But I actually shed tears watching this guy. I was so just enamored with the way he was so positive in the midst of a living nightmare of a just absolutely hell prison that he lives in. No arms, no legs. I mean, this guy, I've never seen anyone so positive in my life with absolutely no reason to be happy. This guy has no reason to be happy. Meanwhile, he's the happiest guy you ever met in your life. The most positive guy you've ever seen in your life. This guy, they gave him an award tonight for, I don't know what. It should have been, all the awards should have gone to this guy for what he's done to these kids. Honestly, these kids love him. I mean, to tell you, they will literally jump through a wall for him. I mean, I kid you not. It's like nothing you've ever seen. If you've seen that story about this guy with no arms, no legs on that E60, call me, because I'm not making this stuff up. It was absolutely brutal to sit through. I was like, I was all blowing my nose. Oh, God, and I love you.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
855-212-4CBS. Craig in Lansing, Michigan. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, what's up, Pharrell?
Hey, man.
Man, you know, a couple things. Kawhi, he's 28 years old. I love that he did what he did with his contract because, in my opinion, I mean, if in 3 years he can get another max deal for a couple years, and then if he's 33 or 34, then he can get another max deal, which instead of going 2 4s, he can end up squeaking out a couple more years at top pay, even into his late 30s. But so anyways, another thing I want to talk about is I love that the Clippers dealt away those picks, dude. I mean, you got to do that. I mean, if you can make yourself relevant for the next couple of years and not be average for the next 8 years, that's a great move. I mean, you have to do it. And so I love that they did that. I'm really happy that Kawhi didn't go to the Lakers just because the same reason everybody else is that's on my page, is happy because he made it so that that it's not going to be just one dominant team. I dig it. And, I want to ask you this. Is Oklahoma, they're in line to get a bunch of picks over the next several years. Does it even matter? I mean, are they going to be the kind of team that can keep those players there? Or are they just going to be a farm team to the rest of the NBA and just deal out players after their rookie contracts are up? I mean, so it's one thing if you get a bunch of picks, but if you can't do something with them, then what's the point?
I think that they're obviously somewhat there's truth to what you're saying, that they're like, now no one down there will agree with it, right, in Oak City. But let's face facts. Every great player they have leaves. I mean, what do you need to know? They're, literally everyone that played there is gone. Harden, it'll be Durant. Now this guy Westbrook. Paul George was there to blow his nose. I mean, no one stays there. That's just all there is to it. Now, you can say whatever you want. It's the same thing in New Orleans. Now, let's see if this guy, Zion Williamson, stays there long term. You saw what Davis did. He couldn't get out of there fast enough at the end. He's just like, look, I love the food and the people, but screw this, right? Like, that's basically what he said. So, now, is it inevitable that they're going to get all these draft picks? I guess in a couple of these deals, it would appear there's a bunch of draft picks involved. In others, there isn't. I think the deal with the Heat would be players and, you know, Dragic, Winslow, Olenek, and maybe a first-round pick. And then the one with Detroit I'm hearing is more picks, a 2020 unprotected first-rounder, a pick swap in 21, 22 unprotected. But there'd also be players involved, Reggie Jackson, Tony Snell, et cetera. And others have been mentioned, Langston Galloway, blah, blah, blah. So there's other teams, Denver, and then there's, you know, possibly something there. I don't buy that at this point. Minnesota, another one. And then the Thunder would get Wiggins, Teague, and others. But I'm not seeing any picks there. Why would you do those deals if there's, you know, average players and no picks? I mean, they're just not going to do those deals. So I think it's and then if it's the Suns, I've heard about that, it'd be Tyler Johnson, who used to play for the Heat, Kelly Oubre, we've already seen play in D.C., and they're talking about Aaron Baines, a 2022 first-rounder, and a second-round picks in 22 and 23. So lots of picks involved. I think it's pretty obvious where the guy wants to play, and that's Miami.
Yeah, and if you look at what gives him the best chance to win out of all of those teams that you're mentioning there, you would say probably that. Hooking up with Jimmy Butler down in Miami would probably be his best bet, right?
I think that on paper it looks the most attractive, Miami with Butler and having Westbrook. But I think in reality, in my view, that where he would have more success – banging-wise and winning-wise would be Detroit for me. With Blake Griffin and Drummond, you can do some things with a guy of his skill. Now, I think that he has, I don't know. In my view, I feel like he's already had enough of the sharing with superstars thing. You know what I mean? He has played with all of them, right? He has literally played with all of them. KD, right now, Paul George, he's played with Harden and KD. He's played with all of them. And all of them have run out of there. Like, let's just get real here for a while. Why do they all want out of there? Maybe it's because he's painful. But you're going to put him on Miami with another guy that's never happy. I just don't see those two coexisting because I've heard all I can take about how cool they are. They're just not. The bottom line is, wherever they go, they're like, painful. Are they not just, it's like Butler's never been happy, has he? And Philly gave him the world. I mean, he was set in Philly. I mean, they loved him. The city loved him, the fans, everybody. But he, you know, I thought he was somewhat happy there. I'm a little surprised. I really am that he walked out of there to go be the man, I guess. I think he thinks he's replacing Dwayne Wade. Good luck with that. Good luck with replacing Dwayne Wade. It's impossible. They'll love Dwayne Wade 20 years from now more than they'll ever love him, in my view. Now, if he brings him a championship, that might be a different story. But I don't know. I think Westbrook would actually fit with guys that just ball and bang and that don't care anymore about their superstardom. You know what I mean? Like Blake Griffin and Drummond, they just want to bang and play and get paid a lot of money. And I don't think, you know, I'm not sitting here saying that Blake Griffin's been happy in the Motor City playing ball because he had it all in L.A., right? But L.A. got on him. Like, it grew on him like an elephant in a room, right? It became a pain in his ass, that guy. I feel like he needs – this is just me. Westbrook's had enough of the superstardom thing. think he just needs to play ball and quit. And you know, he has been difficult in his own right, has he not? I mean, he has gotten into it with fans. He has gotten into it. He has.
Fans and media.
Fans and media.
All reports are that he's a good teammate, though.
Oh, is that right? Because I don't believe that. He's just a pain in the ass is what he is. If you ask me, I think he's a great player. There's no denying it. I don't think he can shoot. You know, I think he's lost his shot. He's not the same player he was shooting the ball. Would anyone disagree with that?
He's not a good shooter, especially from distance.
But can you believe they owe him $171 million? He's 31 already.
And there's your problem.
That's the problem.
That is why it's going to be very hard for other teams to take him, or why they – you know how you just listed all those trades where teams aren't giving up that much to get him?
Right.
And that's why, because they want to get rid of the 171.
So, I don't know who the players are that the Heat are reluctant to give
one
up.
One of them is Tyler Hero.
The Heat are reluctant to include Adebayo and Tyler Hero. And so, apparently they can make the deal work.
Money-wise, they can, yeah.
They can make it money-wise. Where do you think he's going, Detroit or Miami?
I actually think Detroit would be very intriguing for him. I honestly think, like you said, that would you have two guys on the inside, two guys who could play the heavy game down low and have him distribute. You know, I
think those guys ball there, but I don't think they're happy there.
You don't think that they'd be happier with Russell Westbrook
coming in? In terms of balling, which is all that matters, they're ballers. They
How about winning games?
Just play and win and put up numbers. Because, you know, Detroit's cool. It's a cool city. It really is. But I don't think NBA players like playing there.
I think he ends up in Miami.
Right now, they don't. Back in the day with the Bad Boys, they like playing there. Nowadays, I don't think anyone does.
I think he ends up in Miami.
There you go. The Warrior is in Oakland. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, what a pleasure, Pharrell. What a pleasure from all the way back in the Pharrellavision days. Anyway, listen, I got to say, this Golden State Warrior team is going to be a lot better than the crowd is giving them credit for. You got broadcasters out here talking about the Warriors might not make the playoffs. Look at that team. Look at the way they played during the regular season without Durant. Look at what Iguodala did during the regular season. Look how much denigrated the player Sean Livingston became. This is a team that's not going to compete for winning the conference, but they could make the fourth or fifth seed, and then Klay Thompson
comes. All right, so let me get this straight, just so you and I are clear, that is it certain Livingston and Iguodala are both gone?
They released Livingston, they traded Iguodala.
So they're both gone. You're talking about guys that aren't even there anymore, and Boogie's gone, and you got KD gone. KD's gone. I mean, what?
That's it. I know they're gone. That's what I'm saying. They're gone, and Iguodala didn't do much during the regular season. Sean Livingston's shot as a player. KD's gone. Can't replace him. But D'Angelo Russell and Curry is a good backcourt. Willie Cauley-Stein's a good center. I think this team's going to be a lot more competitive than those on the national level are giving it. Even like Andrew Bogut is saying, the Warriors aren't going to be.
Well, let's be clear here. All right. So the Warriors still have a good team. There's no denying that, in my view. And I will be stunned. I really will if they don't make the playoffs. I just don't see that happening. I really don't. They already have really good players. But the one thing that I would worry about more than anything else with that team is injuries. So they already had a crippling season of injuries at the end in the playoffs when Thompson and Durant went down. So all it takes is one, and then you get two, you're finished. One is bad enough. Two is season over, right? They lost the finals, in my view, clearly because of they had no one on deck. They had no one on board that could get it done once those two went down. I mean, no disrespect. I thought Kawhi Leonard and the Raptors did their job. They did exactly what you have to do when two superstars go down. You take advantage of it and you beat them. You know what I mean? Like, I've been in games like that before, Mafia. Remember when Jabir went down, broke his ankle, and he was there big in the game, and then once he went down, we're like, all right, here, they have no one that can stop us now inside, so let's just pound it in, and we kick their ass, and that was it. So when a guy goes down, it's a superstar, you beat him. When two guys go down, you don't even have to try. You'll still find a way to beat him. You cannot overcome two superstars in the NBA going down in a seven-game playoff series. So, look, they cannot afford injuries. But I still think they're good. I still think they're a good team with Curry, with Green, with Looney. They have a lot of talent still on the team and a good coach. So my guess is they're still going to be tough enough to make the playoffs. I have a hard time believing they won't make the playoffs.
Right, but to make it, this guy's talking about putting them at the 4 or 5. So you put them over the Lakers or the Clippers or the Rockets or the Jazz after they just added Mike Conley or Portland after they brought in Whiteside. Or Denver, like
Whiteside
is sitting right there.
Whiteside has proven that he doesn't work hard.
I'm not ready to go.
He doesn't matter.
I'm not ready to go as wild as the Warrior just did right there. But I do think they're going to be a lot better than people think.
They'll be better than people think. But these people washing them down the sewer?
No chance.
That's crazy.
No chance.
Curry will start hitting daggers just to spite you.
Steph and D'Lo alone will keep them around until Klay comes back and they get everybody in the mix.
Now, do you remember when they got D'Lo? Everybody said they were going to trade him. I don't think they're doing that at all.
I would keep him.
They're not trading him. I don't believe that they are, to be honest with you. I think they got him to keep him to play because they don't have Klay Thompson. So they got him to play. And they're like, oh, he's a point guard. Not anymore. Not anymore. And it doesn't even matter if you ask me. He could be the point guard and Curry could be the two in 5 seconds.
They're both going to be jacking shots.
Curry can just stand in the corner and jack threes till he's blue in the face. Curry will win just to spite people. I mean, he'll shoot 35 times a game just to literally spite people. All the people that said that they're finished and done and dynasty over and everything else. I think they got a chip on their shoulder big time.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.